Amen. I think we're going to teach here. We're going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1. As I continue to pray in the Holy Ghost, I find myself more focused on what I believe and less focused on what I used to believe. I don't know if focus is the right word. How about tolerant, I think? There's a lot of people a lot of teaching out there that take people down dead-end roads, where you can run your whole life thinking you are receiving a reward and end up not receiving a reward. You can run your whole life practicing what someone taught you and think that you are pleasing God, and really you're not pleasing God. And so here, Peter is addressing an issue, and I want to try to teach on it a little bit. But we're going to start in, well, actually we'll start in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, being even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Talking about the progression into maturity, into love. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Peter here is talking about going to heaven and doing it in abundance. For this reason, verse 12, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I'll be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now let me just stop here. The more I pray in the Holy Ghost, the more powerless I see much of the doctrine that I was taught before. Peter here calls it devised fables. It's a shame to waste your life serving God when you're really not serving Him in the way He wants you to serve Him. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So there's no prophecy that's given, there's no vision that's given, or message from a pulpit that is allowed to say, don't judge this. You know, every prophecy, every vision, every word that we put out should be free to be battered around. You know, when I started having little images or little mini visions, whatever you want to call it, it's amazing how I can go back there years later to that same image that God put in me. And I could walk around it inside of that image. And from every aspect, there's truth to it. There is an urgency in my heart to get us, or to get you, to get me, to move past wrong doctrine. For years, I thought that it was just a okay stuff that was being taught. It's okay. You know, it's still preaching Jesus. And, you know, we understand. Number one, if we preach people saved, that's great. But the Bible says don't just get them saved, but also make them disciples. In fact, half of the job is discipleship. Much of the church today is on a road, on a treadmill of doctrine. They're running thinking they are producing things in the kingdom, and they're not. They're just on a treadmill, wasting their time. And it's because someone led them that way. Now, most preachers that I know, in fact, most of them that I know are good-hearted men and women who are building their teaching on what they were taught, on their life experiences. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost, because you're no longer at the mercy of what someone else taught you. You're no longer at the mercy of what your life experiences have taught you. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost, that you submit your belief structure to the Holy Ghost and say, "You teach me what truth is." See? Because everything else is just fables. Chapter 2, verse 1. "But there were also false prophets among the people," talking about the prophecy of old in the Old Testament. "Even there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction." False teachers. He went from prophets in the Old Testament, the teachers in the New Testament. I think it's mainly because the prophets in the Old Testament could steer a nation in one way or another. And that's the job of the teachers today in the New Testament, is to steer the rudder of the ship, of the gospel, of the body of Christ, towards truth and away from error. So these teachers bring in they will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Did God bring it on them? No, they bring it on themselves. "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they're not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." Now, one thing about authority. There is an independence that the Holy Ghost wants from us, that we hear God on our own. we take directions from Him. But there should be authority in each of our lives that we respect and honor. Every one of us need to have a pastor. Every one of us need to have an apostle. I'm not just speaking to us here in the location of the prayer center, but all around the world, whoever are on this message, we need to have a pastor that is allowed to come and share with us. We need to have an apostle, a true one. We need to have a true apostle where we can bounce our doctrine off of their doctrine and find out that we may be wrong. Just because I think something or feel something doesn't mean it's right. Do you ever have someone come have a mood? They wake up in a bad mood, and then you're in a bad mood, and then everyone around them is in a bad mood, and you wonder why you're in a bad mood, why they're in a bad mood. You know, just because you feel something doesn't mean it's correct. You might be in a bad mood for who knows what. Doesn't mean it's justified. You know, you may believe something to be true that's not true. When I first heard the message of the widow's mite from Gary Carpenter, it rocked my world. That was the first time that I found something that I thought was truth. Not just someone's opinion. It was truth in my heart. Truth in my heart. It was the first time I found something that I thought was truth. And I discovered it wasn't truth at all. And God was not, or Jesus was not, patting the widow for giving her two mites, but was condemning the Pharisees for taking them from her. That shook me to the core. I left after listening to that message and I thought, what else is in me that I believe is truth that isn't truth? Do you understand? Everything that's not truth is a lie. It's a fable. It's a fairy tale. And much of the teaching that's out there today in our churches are fables. They're not productive. And they're causing people, it may not cause everyone, some of it doesn't cause you to walk away from God. Like these guys are bringing in. But it'll cause you to live your life and wonder why God never shows up. Not because He won't. It's because that path you're on is not taking you to where you will believe Him for things. Much of the road to prosperity. Worst thing you do is take a businessman and have him teach regular folk how to be blessed by God. A businessman may be able to teach businessmen. But he can't teach regular folk because the rules are different. Much of the silliness that's being taught. You need to be healed. Plant a seed. Wrap a bill around that need. And send it to me and I'll take the bill and send your need to God for you. Silliness is teaching multitudes of people that you have to do something to get God's attention before He will heal you. It's teaching them that God is not a father, that He's the same as Baal, He's the same as the gods you have to sacrifice and cut yourself and get their attention. That didn't come from Him. That teaching didn't come from Him. It came from generation of generations of generations that's established the doctrine of the church today. It's our job to root out the fables and lay out the truth. All right, where was I? Verse 12, thank you. I was going there, I was reading through. Where did I go? Verse 12, authority. It's good to have authority. You know, if you're part of the prayer center and all you get is Pastor Dave and Gary's teaching, you now have apostles. Don't get mad at me, Gary, but you have apostles teaching truth. I'm not trying to call him apostle as much as his truth, his doctrine, his truth. One thing I know about Gary is he won't teach something unless he knows it's truth. You know, he'll constantly say, God showed this to me 16 years ago. And I've been wanting to teach it, but finally he's released me to teach it. I get stuff right hot off the press. And I tried to hold it off, and it just shoots out of my mouth. I think I get nervous, and I just have nothing else to say. And out it comes, and oh, help me, Jesus. Pastor Dave spends all those years and hours and hours and hours of letting the Holy Ghost teach him, comes out with a nugget of truth that you and I get for free. You understand that nugget of truth, the power of truth, as if it's truth. And you listen to it and take it into your heart, it's with you the rest of your life. 30 years from now, the Holy Ghost can bring back that truth. That's the power of being connected and listening to apostles and truth. And a lot of times your flesh will want to make its own doctrine. You know, starts to squirm when you hear the word fasting. Flesh starts to flip through the channels to try and find another teacher that will give you an easier way. We need pastors in our life to shepherd us, to encourage us. I watch Pastor Dave, and you can come up and tell him stuff. I remember one time I came up, and I just finished a conference with a guy from a manager from a hotel I was negotiating a contract with. And I had just eaten his lunch. I got what I wanted for Brother Norville and our ministry. And hotels, they really just want your money. That's it. You have to deal business with them. Well, I'd overdone it and got theatrical and took the contract and scrunched it up and threw it at them, and I got my way. Threatened to leave and go to another hotel, and so afterwards I just come upstairs and I was bragging to Pastor Dave, you know, bark, 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 look what I did, bark, bark, telling all the guys around me. Right for everyone, Pastor Dave said, after I told him what I did and I got my way with him and got our contract, and Pastor Dave in front of everyone just said, well, that's good. Now, could you tell him about Jesus afterwards? You know what? I've never forgot about that. If I ever have a problem with someone, even in the coffee shop, I hear those words. If I want to complain to a waiter, I hear those words. See, that was me being pastored. We need to have pastors in our life and apostles and prophets, true prophets. See, true prophets don't try to stand up. They don't try to... true prophets don't try to put themselves above you, see, or put you below them. They don't try to take a position of spirituality that now you need to come to me. See, I could tell you horror stories of prophets who prophesy who your wife is going to be or who your husband's supposed to be. Never get married because God told you that she's the one or he's the one. Never get married because a man or a woman prophesied to you that this is the one. You get married because you like them. And you think they're good looking. And you like being around them. And you've fallen in love with them. And then someone could prophesy to you. And then it's okay. How many counseling sessions have I had? Oh, God told me he was the one. I said, no, he didn't. No, he did. No, he didn't. One lady said, I didn't want to marry him, but God told me. I said, that wasn't God. We had one prophet who prophesied. Every young person went to his church. I don't know if he was trying to get his son married off or what it was, but he would constantly prophesy to the girls. They're supposed to marry his son, or always people are supposed to get married and be in his church. And one time there was a preacher, and he'd come to the Bible college, and he was a single preacher. He was older, and he'd lie, and very well respected. I mean, I can go back and name the times he prophesied and nailed it right on the head. And there was a girl that he liked in the school, and I guess that he had thought that she liked me. So he came up to me and prophesied to me. Said, I see your wife. She's from a town close to where you're from. Canada. Yeah. And gave me instructions of who my wife was, which was completely opposite from this girl. And I didn't know if this girl liked me or not. I wasn't interested in her. But he was trying to get me off the scent if I was interested on her and send me down a different path. Oh, I can go on and on and on. You think I teach the way I do just because I'm weird? No, I've been battered by all kinds of craziness. People will, well, I'll stop there. I was going to try to teach tonight. But we need those kind of people in our life. Authority. Authority that we respect. Not that who demand respect, but who we respect. See. And to allow them the privilege. Of rebuking us or correcting us. I wasn't going to teach on this, but I think I want to stay here for a minute. There's a proper way for the body of Christ to operate with authority. And whether you like it or not, you should have authority in your life. People that you respect, that you receive from, not just in their sweetness. We all like a mama. Everyone likes having good mamas around. They stroke you. Oh, you showed up for church. Oh, I love you. You're so good. I'm so proud of you. I haven't seen you for 6 months, but so nice to see you. And they hug on you. But there's also a daddy's love, which sometimes is a good swift kick in the rear. Challenge you. You know, my son will want to do things. He'll try to climb things that are a tree. He'll say, okay, daddy, help me. I said, okay. And when he says help, he wants me to lift him up into the tree and sit him there. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I said, I'll make sure you don't fall. But if you're going to climb this tree, you got to climb this tree on your own. Because you got to know that you can get down this tree. Because I don't want to be in my house one afternoon wondering where Harrison is and find him stuck in a tree somewhere. But see, when he climbs the tree and I make sure he's safe, when he gets up there, I tell him he's proud because he achieved something. You know, love is a free word, but pride or being proud is something you earn from achieving things or conquering things. So a proper balance of authority is that you allow men and women in your life who because it's been so abused, you understand? Authority in the church has been so abused. I went to one church and you couldn't, I can't remember what kind of movement it was. It was a shepherding movement where pastor's in charge, like really in charge. Like you didn't buy a fridge without calling your pastor and getting permission first. You didn't make any decisions without getting permission from your spiritual authority. I don't even know what, you know, I've held the position of a pastor officially for many, many years. And that's a lot of work. You know, that's a lot of work being caught. If you have a church over five, you know, that's a lot of work to be controlling everyone, want to know where they're doing, what they're doing. You weren't even allowed to go to be intimate with your wife unless you got your pastor's permission. And see, the type of people that fall for that are broken people. Or people that need a real pastor to walk them from being weak and undisciplined and a mess and to walk them into their own strength. See. And then release them to follow God. Not to capture them and keep them under their foot. So there is a proper place for authority in the church. And that authority is built on your respect for the people around you. It's not built on what they can offer you or what they can do for you. It's built on your respect by who they are. One man told me, you don't need to go to that Pastor Dave's church. So you moved to Tulsa, you need to go to those other churches. I said, but God's telling me to go to Pastor Dave's church. No, no. No, you can go there once in a while, but don't sit there. He said, I know a guy that went to that church, and he failed and failed and failed. And all that Pastor Dave did and that church did was love on him and put up with him. He said, I even told Pastor Dave, you need to kick that guy out of your church and kick him out of the state. Just get rid of him. And I didn't say this, but I thought it. Nowadays, I'd probably say it, but back then, I thought it. So what you're saying is, if I were to sit under you and I messed up really bad, you'd kick me out. But if I sit under Pastor Dave and mess up really bad, he's going to help me. That's not a good argument. When I would pick up the guest speakers, see, we had a lot of preachers come through, and some would walk in power. And but then I'd hear them teach stuff because I've been praying and listening to the messages here. We'd smuggle in messages, and I'd listen to them. We'd pass them around, and I started to learn some things. And they walk in power, but then they teach the silliest thing. And I would think, how do I know this? I'm 24 years old. How do I know this? And you don't know this. And you got a worldwide ministry. What? And he walked in power. And usually when you walk in power, everyone accepts everything you say. So I learned quickly, just because you walk in power doesn't mean you know anything. And then we'd have preachers come, and I would pick them up from the airport, and they'd draw big crowds, and some of them were real rude in the back room. So I started to learn that you judge how good a preacher is, not by how good he is on stage, but how good is he to the driver who's driving him to the stage. See? You learn to find respect for the right reasons. Should I be careful what stories I tell? Men without an agenda, leaders and women and men who want to pour into you without an agenda. In other words, their advice to you is what's best for you, not what's best for them. When you find someone you respect for the right reasons, you'd be wise to let them speak into your life. And see, you and I can make it difficult for people to speak into our lives. And I understand if you've been beat up and hurt and abused by preachers, that may take some time. It took me about, a few years of sitting in this congregation before I really believed. Now, I knew in my head that the leaders here loved me. I knew that. But my heart had built a little wall around it that I didn't realize. Because, you know, when you get told God said this, and you know that the only reason they're telling you that is because they found out something from somebody else, you stop believing it when people say God said. When a position is held to manipulate and control and stunt your growth, just so that the leaders get their way. I can understand how your heart needs time. I'm not trying to tell you to, if you're resistant to authority, that you're wrong. I'm trying to encourage you, though, that even though this path may take you away from authority for a season, it should bring you back to where you're under authority of men and women who you respect and honor. There is authority in the church today. And we can make ourselves available to it. Number one, doctrinally, you know, be careful who you listen to. It's not okay just to go around and listen to a bunch of messages. It's not okay just to grab this guy and that guy and say, let's see what he has to say. Most of us, let me just be honest with you, most of us are not experienced enough yet to taste of wrong doctrine and have it not affect us. I'll say that again. That was good. Most of us, talking about myself, not talking about Pastor Dave or Gary or Tim, I'm talking about myself. I'm in this category. I don't trust myself listening to too many things because other people's opinions still affect me. I'm still busy rooting out wrong stuff. I don't need to put more stuff in. It's not okay for you to wander around and just listen to every guy down the road. You know how many guys there are? Just type in ministries on Google. I'll bet you'll find hundred thousands of them. I'm okay with anyone coming and telling me something. Especially when I teach, or someone, they'll say, You could have said this or you could have said that. And I'm sure I could have. I didn't. I'm okay with that. I'm not offended by that. I'm not touchy, you know. A lot of times that helps. If someone you respect loves you enough to speak into your life, and even though it may touch on some things you don't want it to touch on, it's important that we learn how to fake a smile. Now, I'm being honest now. I'm being serious. And I don't know who all this is for. You can give a sour face, and basically what you're saying is, if you ever come and tell me something I don't like to hear, I'm going to make you miserable for doing it. Someone preaches something, I'll blame it on Gary, preaches something that hits you and you don't like it, you move back 3 rows. Don't show up for 2 months. What you're saying is, and that's okay, it's your life, but what you're saying is, if you ever tell me something I don't want to hear, I'm gonna protest and let you know. Oh boy, I'm preaching good. There is a sincerity about allowing the man that God put in position in this church and in this ministry. Talking again about just Gary and Pastor Dave and Tim. In the direction they take the church, in the direction they feel for the ministry, and the things they teach, and the decisions they make. Where you and I should trust that they hear God, even if we disagree with some things. And trust in ourselves to know, or let me rephrase that, trust in God that even though the direction may not be what I think is right, or may not be what I want, or I may not agree with the teaching, or who they're having teaching, or who they're having singing, or who they're having do what, if I don't agree with that, it's not my job to change it. It's God's job. I remember dealing with little kids, little 20-year-old kids, complaining that the praise and worship leader didn't. Did you feel that shift in the anointing? That praise and worship leader, they were going one direction, the anointing shifted. And they didn't go with it. They should have sung this song. And coming to me, trying to get me to change and confront the leader. I was like, who put you in charge? If they missed it, then God will deal with them. They won't miss it next time. All right. Independence is what God wants for you. But not independence that takes you away from having authority in your life. The right kind of authority. I didn't mean to talk about all that. I try to stay away from authority to a certain extent because it's been abused. And mistaught and misunderstood. There's only one man who's in charge of your life, and that's Jesus. And the rest of your life, you don't get to choose where you go, what you do, how you do it. He gets to choose for you. And if you're humble enough, you'll submit to it and allow Jesus to be head of your life. But along this road, it is healthy for you and I to get to the place to where we're healed enough and we trust enough to find men and women who love us enough to not just teach the truth, but to set an example of the truth, a lifestyle, and allow them to speak into our lives. Because one of the fruits here, oh, that was good, going back to my message now. One of the fruits here of this wrong doctrine is that they had a problem with authority. There was a certain man in town here who started to believe with all his heart that no one needed to get born again, that everyone was already saved, and that the work was already completed in Christ at the cross, that now the whole world is saved. Doesn't matter if you ever ask Jesus into your heart, the whole world is saved. And as he began to take that step forward, already been dwelling, and you could hear it for years in his messages kind of poke out, but when he finally took a stand and said, this is truth, certain man that he had placed over him in authority came and confronted him and tried to rescue him, but he refused to listen. See, just because you believe something doesn't mean it's true. And that's why you have proper men and women of authority over you, so that you don't have to submit yourself to what you believe. Verse 12. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carousal in the daytime. There are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Maybe I'll get into that next time. I want to come back to authority again. I can't leave that yet. The authority that we have in our life doesn't come from them to us. It comes from us to them. The authority we should have in our life are men and women that we submit to, and not who make us submit to them. How many people have come here to the prayer center and left? How many? More than 100? More than 1,000? I'm not talking about people who come in and, oh, I drove by and saw the church and came in and didn't come back. But people like you who have felt a desire to join into a group, see, and left. There is a safety in authority. There is a safety. Listen, there is a safety in being under authority. I'll tell you one thing I understand is I have a shield ahead of me. The shield of Dave, Tim, and Gary that I hide behind. The devil comes to attack and he goes after them first. Maybe you don't know how much battle it takes to get to this place of doctrine that we're at. how much warfare has come to stop us from getting there. And how awesome it is to know what I know, what happened to go through the warfare that those men ever had to go through. Why? Because I'm a smart, wise young man who submitted to authority. Standards that are taught by actions. I'll make fun of young preachers. Say, coming late for church. You know, it's okay if it happens once in a while, but imagine you want to be a preacher. It's like, I thought you want to be a preacher. Well, I do, but you can't come in to church on time. Well, you know, I'm not preaching. Yeah, but it's, you understand, Dave, Pastor Dave is here. Gary's here. Every service. Every service. That's a standard that they live by. That will tell you something. I wanted to be like Pastor Dave Roberson after I got to know him. And I figured if I wanted to be like him, I'd have to live like him. I mean, I'd have to spend hours in prayer. Now, I don't know how I'm getting here, but submitting to a standard. You know how a boy learns how to swing a baseball bat? Copies a man. Takes instructions by a man. You can learn. You and I can put ourselves on a path toward walking greater things by following the same path the men and women before us have taken. That's the standard. Submitting yourself to a standard. Do you know why people don't finish the course? Because dying isn't easy. And their flesh finds a place that preaches an easier standard. Their flesh, their soulish man, finds a doctrine that is easier to live by, that doesn't confront it. How many of you first started praying and serving God, you started to get confronted just by your doctrine? It's everything, like you've been battered around and beat up, and you know, you had to fight your flesh into the prayer closet all the time, and into fasting and into word, and your flesh tried to wiggle out of it every way possible. There is a walk that you and I can shorten by allowing authority into our life. I'm trying my best to describe a healthy submission to authority. Because if you're not under authority, if you don't find someone you can submit to under doctrinally, to the standards they live by, to the love they walk in, it's a lonely road. And it's much easier to fall. It's much easier to fall. Some of you, you show up to church every service. You sit in your chair. And my God, if you weren't here on Sunday, we would know it. The whole church would know it. We'd call 911. Where is she? We would think the rapture happened. Have we missed it? See, that's accountability. You make yourself accountable when you jump in a group. You show up faithfully. You participate. You're accountable. That's the right kind of accountability. I think I'm just a little bit bothered by how many people come and go from such a pure message, from such a pure pathway. I think my spirit is bothered, because if the devil was able to talk other people out of this pathway, who's to say he can't talk me out of it too? Who's to say he can't talk you out of it too? I know some man that he hasn't talked out of yet. And I put them as authority in my life, whether they like it or not. I think almost every step that the Holy Ghost has had me take over the last 6, 7, 8 years, I have had an example before me to know that I wasn't crazy. It took me a couple of years of being in this church before my heart opened up to being loved by authority. And I think I can even go back to my early teenage years and before then, to where man of authority intimidated me. And any type of authority pushed me back real quick. You can call it fear man. I don't know what you would call it, but police officer. I was always shocked when someone would talk back to a teacher. I think I learned early on that if you talk back to authority, you got in too much trouble. So it put me into a position of submission to authority that was unhealthy. And it took me out of being my own independent follower of Christ, and I had turned over my life to people above me, which was unhealthy for both of us and unnatural. I can make fun of authority that and complain about authority, but really, once you're 18, you're your own person. No one has a right to make you do anything. So much of the authority that I was, I could say, was improper in my life was mostly because I had submitted to it. It took me a couple of years of being around here without someone running ahead of me, jumping in front of me, to open up my heart. But it doesn't mean there's no authority in this place. The authority here is available if you submit to it. If you allow it, the teaching, the standards that's lived by, the accountability that's produced by you becoming part of the group. There is a church being established, a proper church, where men and women of love can Shotoraba. You have to excuse me, I wasn't going to teach on this. And it's a touchy subject for me, talking about authority. And I did try to move on. We're going to have to set the example from a fresh start for the body of Christ to understand what a real pastor is, what a real apostle is, what a real prophet is, what a real teacher is, what a real evangelist is, what a real family is, how to operate as a family. And even though praying in the Holy Ghost will lead you down a road of independence where you hear God, we are still supposed to be under proper authority. And if there's something in you that is screaming to you that is against the doctrine that is taught, is against the standard that is taught, is against the authority's decisions, then if you're wise, you will look at yourself first as maybe being in error. Because if God sent you to be part of this group, He knew what it would be like when you got here. He didn't send you or me to fix it, but to be a part of it. And by being a part of it, you and I are adding something to this. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I have many examples in my head, going through my head right now, but a lot of them were when I was in a deformed type of authority. So I don't want to use those. Okay, I'll close with this. A wise person doesn't trust themselves. That's a wise person. When I was younger and single, I didn't trust myself to be alone with a girl. Not that anything would happen, but if Alan was in the wrong situation, there's a good chance Alan would make the wrong choice. So it's better for Alan not to be in that position to make the wrong choice. So we'll just stop it and won't get in that position. Especially in times past, I swore I heard God. I told people I heard God. Made decisions based on what I heard and found out I didn't hear God. So I'm going to be a wise young man, I'm not young anymore, be a wise man, and not trust that I hear God the first thing I hear. I'm going to bounce it off of the authority ahead of me. God spoke to me to quit my job. Well, let me see how did Gary do it? How did Dave do it? I'll bounce it off of their examples. If mine doesn't line up, then I want to at least question and drag my feet a little bit. Even if we go through a season where we're battling with our flesh, we can find security and safety in being under authority. And that there are times where our emotional struggle will try to pull us out of God's will. And the only lifeline you have is people around you. People that you submitted to. And I don't want us to go at this alone, because we don't have to. And when there's times that are difficult, we don't have to follow the path of so many ahead of us who have gotten off the road and found a different road. We can make it. And sometimes we're going to need each other. And it's okay to need each other. it's okay that the only reason you came to church was because you don't want them calling 911. That's a good position to be in. It's okay that the only reason you came to prayer was because you were there the last 10 times. It's okay. It's okay to need a hug. It's okay to need a good word. It's okay to go through hard times. But if we're properly submitted to authority, if we're properly submitted to proper authority, that's what it's there for. To help us get through times where we wouldn't make it on our own. To help us to grow to a place where we would have fallen without someone's help. All right, let's stand. Father, we thank you tonight that we're not alone. Not only do we have brothers and sisters, but we have authority with you and with men and women around us to help us go further than we ever could by ourselves, to help us get through times where we would give up, where we'd be deceived, and save us years and years of deception. We're not proud. We're humble. We won't do this by ourselves. So, Father, I thank you that you are teaching me how to submit properly to proper authority. And I'm so grateful that you put men and women in front of me who are examples of love. An example, pure examples of ministers, pastors and apostles and teachers, prophets. Who are motivated by love. So Father, you have not put this all together. So we have to walk by ourselves. You are putting us together so we can walk together. So in everyone listening right now, I'm asking you, Father, to bring the same healing that you've been bringing to me. That's healed me of many, many years of wrong authority. Many, many years of fear of not being perfect, of not pleasing. Father, for those who are coming out of controlling situations, that you bring a surety to their heart, that they're not condemned. But you didn't bring us out of wrong authority to leave us without authority. That you are bringing us to a place that each one individually is healed enough to properly submit to proper authority. And that together we can do more than we can by ourselves. Because we're determined to finish this road. To finish our race, to win our race. We're determined not to be a casualty to our flesh and to wrong doctrine and to selfishness and to covetousness. So I thank you tonight, Father, that you're releasing your healing presence into each of us. To free us up to know what love is, to know what fathers are. to know how to be fathered. I have a real aching in my heart right now. This has to do with, I suppose, being hurt by authority. I recognize this aching. I haven't had it for a long time, but I recognize it. When you've done everything to love someone and to be faithful, and then you don't do what they want you to do one time, spirit of control. Listen, if you're here tonight, you just have that hurt in your heart, or feel like somehow God's unlocking that part in you that you've kept covered, and God's unlocking it so He can heal you tonight. That you don't have to go the rest of your life with fear of being under someone, of being fear of authority. There's a healing for you. Why don't you come right now, real quick? Just come, let me pray with you. I want to pray in case someone's listening who's not here tonight. When I first took steps by the Holy Ghost away from authority over me, improper authority, I had to do so very fearfully. Because what the Lord was leading me to do I was told it was going to bring me destruction because I didn't do what I was told by a man. But I had to follow my heart. There was damage to me. So I want to pray in case someone's listening first, then I'll pray for you guys. Father, right now I thank you for that healing presence. That every bit of fear that the enemy has tried to use to make us submit to wrong authority, to keep us boxed up and to stop us from discovering independence, discover the joy of following our Lord Jesus, discover the adventure. To discover the adventure of following Him, Him providing for us, Him leading our steps, all that control to keep us in a little box. Father, all that fear that the enemy uses to stop us from taking those steps and finding proper authority. Lord, I ask you now to release your healing presence, security and safety, to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. That we're free in Jesus' name to follow our Lord. I'll pray for these. The rest of you, you're free to be released if you'd like, quietly if you want, or you can stay. It's up to you.